Hello everybody. This is the translation of Joel's message for Sunday the 2nd of June. The reading is taken from Mark chapter 4, verses 3 to 8 and 14 to 20. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Jesus explains this to his disciples. In verses 14 to 20. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. In general, when we use the expression, talking come rain, come shine, it means talking about completely trivial things which serve more to furnish a conversation, nothing more. But this year, the subject of rain and sun is perhaps a little less banal a subject than usual. Because the precipitation records exceed everything we have predicted, and that almost everywhere, and it doesn't end. And for professionals like wine growers, among others in our region, who depend on the rain and good weather, at times the going is getting tough. And many individuals also sorry about these not very favourable weather conditions. And when you have to add the presence of a heavily clay soil like us, then planting and harvesting projects become a real headache. Jesus used many images borrowed from nature to teach the great truths of the kingdom of God. This well-known parable of the sower tells us about this power of life hidden in a small seed, but also about the environment in which this seed is placed. You see that the theme of this parable remains very current. It is a parable that we could therefore also call the parable of the land, because Jesus reveals here the fact that it is the nature of the ground that receives the seed that determines the final result. So in the explanation he gives to his disciples, the seed is the word of God, and the sower is he who sows the word, and could be a human sower, but we can of course see in the person of the sower God himself. God sows, spreads his word generously. His expectation is that we bear fruit, each in their own time, each to their own extent. Firstly, God sows his word generously. The story begins with a sower went out to sow. The sower is the main actor, and the story of Jesus is well based on the initiative of the sower. The first thing to note is that even if we can speak of a certain failure in the sowing operation, because part of the seed is ultimately lost, the quality of the seed is absolutely not an issue in this story. All the seed is initially intended to produce. And this should be stated once and for all about the word of God. This inspired word is never to be called into question. It is our understanding and it is our interpretations which can always be revisable. And in the same way, the quality and skills of the sower are not questioned either. The sower sows, he gives, he entrusts the seed to the earth in a large and generous gesture. I remember seeing the scene in my childhood. And the important teaching to hear is certainly the great generosity of the Lord towards everyone who decides to sow against all odds. A gesture which also demonstrates God's immense respect for men. Through the image of this sower, Jesus reveals a God who agrees to give to all without restraint, while knowing that his gifts may be poorly received or refused. It is the incomprehensible grace which nevertheless spreads its favours to everyone, whatever the recipient's response is. This brings us back to Jesus' other speech in the Sermon on the Mount when he says that he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. It is not because he knows that some of his seeds will not bear fruit, he expects, that he stops his action of sowing. Our God is the God who is patient, as Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Our God is the one who continues his work without relenting. He is the shepherd who continues to seek and call, even if only for the one of his lost sheep. Psalm 126 tells us of those who sow the seed with weeping and adds that they will reap with songs of triumph. And God's project always remains sure to find his joy in the harvest of the fruits that his word bears in our hearts. Secondly, his expectation that we bear fruit. It must be said in passing that we could easily think of others when we read the different categories of people that Jesus mentions and who receive the seed. But we must admit that we can also be these different terrains ourselves at different times in our lives. We are called, all of us who have received so much from the Lord, to produce fruit. And we have our part to do so that this living word takes root in us, so that it finds its place in our heart and develops to the point of transforming us. We must root ourselves in this word, make it the reference that inspires our thoughts and our actions, so that it becomes in some way the lifeblood of our thinking and our life. Let us not be this stony ground of those who give up at the slightest difficulty, or who are attentive for a moment and then forget. We have to watch over ourselves, over all our choices, and to constantly fight against anything that could resemble these thorns which choke the word in us. Jesus speaks of the cares of the world, the deceitful lure of riches and all kinds of other passions. It is for freedom that Christ has freed us, and it is his word that makes us truly free, free from all slavery. And for that we need patience too. We need courage and perseverance to be among those who do not give up when they do not immediately see the result, and who give time for this word to germinate and make the character that God wants blossom in us. Admitting the necessity of time is the other point that we can emphasize in the lessons of this parable. Thirdly, bear fruit. Each in his or her time. The image that Jesus uses in this parable of the sower is particularly well chosen to emphasize his truth. Nature gives us so many examples which prove to us that it works thanks to time and with time. Between the moment when the seed falls into the ground and the moment when we can harvest, there are months of waiting, that is to say, months of hope. A little later in this chapter, Jesus makes this aspect of life quite clear when he talks about the process of growth, a long process that is often hidden from our eyes. In verses 26 to 29, he says, "Whether it is day or night, the seed germinates and grows, and we do not know how." This should give us courage for ourselves and also for others. If God, for his part, admits the necessity of time, let us be in no more haste than he is, and let time also play its role. This means that we cannot ask the Lord to jump the steps, neither for us nor for anyone. The ear of corn will never come before the simple blade of grass that comes out of the earth, and the seeds will never be there until the ear is well formed. And if in nature things take weeks and months, we must recognize that in the area of spiritual life, delays can sometimes be even much longer. Let us not forget that we are not the masters of God's calendar, and that the main thing is always to trust only our Master. If he has revealed himself by his word, and if he has given life to his children by his own authority, he will know how to take care of them, and he will know how to make that which has been sown grow until the appearance of fruit. Fourthly, fruit to everyone's measurement. The last point of the lessons of this parable that I would like to emphasize today is that of variety in production. You have noticed that Jesus says twice when he tells the parable that when he gives the explanation to his disciples, does not fail to emphasize this aspect. One grain gives 30, another 60, and one 100. Let us immediately note that he does not add anything that could resemble an appreciation of this result. We perhaps immediately think in terms of productivity, and we immediately classify between the different seeds that yielded. Jesus here does nothing of the sort. What seems remarkable to me in the end of this story of Jesus is this obvious conclusion of the satisfaction of the Lord of the harvest with each ear produced, whatever the quantity of grains. The master in this story is the same one who hires workers at different times and is happy with the work of the last employee. He is the one who grants the same salary to someone who has only worked a few hours at the end of the day as to someone who has toiled since the morning. And this without any injustice, since the salary he gives is in relation to the worker and not to his production. And that for him, everyone has the same value in his eyes and receives the same welcome. What a conclusion for us. See in the person of God a father who knows how to rejoice in each of his children, whatever their capacities, aptitudes and results. What a good reason to continue to serve, each in their place, each in their measure, as best as we can, but without ever comparing one with the other and without seeking to evaluate ourselves in what God alone is able to evaluate. Jesus will say to his disciples a little later in Mark chapter 9 verse 41, "And whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, I tell you the truth, he will not lose his reward." Our God is the one who welcomes and recognizes true value, down to the smallest gesture, down to the smallest fruit of our service. Whether it is through a simple glass of water, through a simple gesture of mutual aid or sympathy, or through greater works that God entrusts to us, may we each be renewed in our motivation to carry fruit, and may God continue to sow the seeds of his love in us. Amen.